Today we have come to one of the great forests of Vrindavan, Bandiravan. The Adivaraha Purana explains that simply by glancing upon this forest, one does not have to take another birth again in this material world. But you have to glance properly. Your glance has to be Trinada Pisuni Chena Tarana Pisuna. Part of this training is to have you sit in the mud and cow dung. Just close to here is the forest of Vatsavan. Yes, Vatsavan, which is a part of Bhadravan. In Bhadravan, wonderful pastimes took place. Rupa Goswami completed his Lalita Madhava in the forest of Bhadravan. And also, in the Vatsavan section of Bhadravan, Krishna killed the asura named Vatsa. Vatsasura was a very, very evil-minded Rakshasa who was a servant of Kamsa. He came to Vrindavan in the disguise of a beautiful little calf. What is more harmless and charming than a beautiful, innocent-looking calf? But this is how Maya tries to somehow or other kill our Krishna-conscious propensity from within our hearts. Maya does not always appear as Maya. Sometimes she appears as our dearest friend, relative, or even as a devotee, to somehow or other gain our faith and confidence, and then steal the propensity to serve Krishna from our hearts. Vatsasura in this little calf form had one intention, to kill Krishna Balaram and the gopas. That day, Krishna and his friends were herding the cows in the pasture grounds of Bhadravan. And Krishna recognized this demon to be a demon. Krishna is the knower of everything. You can cheat some of the people some of the time. But if you try to cheat Krishna, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the best of all cheaters. Krishna also says in Gita, Yeryatamam prapadyante thamistadayavavacham yaham. As you approach Krishna, he rewards you accordingly. If you approach Krishna with love and devotion, Krishna will fill your heart with love and devotion. If you approach Krishna to cheat him, you can be guaranteed that Krishna will cheat you. But how does Krishna cheat you? He's such an expert cheater. He doesn't make it appear that he's cheating you. He makes it appear that you're cheating him. Just so you get completely attached to the cheating process and you actually think you're getting away with it. If you know you're going to lose, it doesn't hurt as bad as if you think you're going to win and then you lose. So Krishna is very thorough in how he cheats us. Just like Hiranyakashipu, when he was fighting Narasimhadeva Bhagavan. At the beginning of the battle, Hiranyakashipu thought, I am winning. He had me in his clutches and I got away. He cannot control me. Just like a cat lets the mouse get away, just so the mouse is thinking, I am better than the cat. So similarly, when we want to cheat Krishna, he will let us get away with it for some time. He may, according to what is best for our purification. But you can know, certainly, without doubt, that you cannot cheat Krishna. Vatsasura appeared as an innocent, helpless little calf coming to accept the mercy of Krishna, who is a gopa, a cowherd boy. Krishna is Govinda, the giver of pleasure to cows. He is Gopala, the protector of cows. So this little calf was seeking Krishna's protection externally, but internally he wanted to destroy Krishna. But Krishna knew. So he let the calf enter into the herd. He told Balaramji that this calf is a demon who has come to kill us. Then Krishna Balaram very quietly snuck up behind Vatsasura. Vatsasura thought he was just mixing in very nicely with the other calves. To his great surprise, Krishna grabbed him from his rear legs. And he picked him up and started whirling him around in the sky, around and around and around with his hand, effortlessly. He was whirling him around so fast that Vatsasura became dizzy to death. He died in the sky. Then Krishna threw him to the top of a tree and he fell down to the ground. Shri Krishna Balaramji! After that, Krishna came here to Bandiravan. And gopis, they said to Krishna that we cannot associate with you because you killed a calf. Vedic culture is to protect the Brahmins and the cows. You killed a baby cow. Krishna said, but it was a demon. No doubt, but still, he came in the form of a calf. If you want to associate with us, here you are.
Is it very calendar?
You kill the cow, you kill the cow, you kill the cow.
Very beautiful. I think they'll get more purified listening to these birds than me. So they said he should bathe in all the holy places. Then Krishna took his flute and put it into the ground and made a beautiful well, in which it was filled with the waters from all the holy places in the universe. And Krishna took his bath. And from that day on, Krishna and the cowherd boys would come to this well to quench their thirst and take their baths. It is called Venukuk, the well made by the flute of Lord Sri Krishna. As we are going out, we can all take water from that well. In fact, there is a certain time of each month, I think when the... No? All right.
Not every month.
When the moonless night is on a Monday? When the moonless night is on a Monday, if ladies who don't have babies properly drink that water,
and take bath.
Drink water and take bath, then you may have nice babies. Our purpose of coming here is not to have babies. It is to purify our heart from all these material desires. But if you want to have baby to raise in Krishna consciousness, then that is devotional service. Hare Krishna. In these beautiful forests, Krishna would come out with his cowherd boys, herding the cows, roaming through the forest. There were wonderful waterfalls, which were flowing everywhere in Vrindavan at that time. And the waterfall would give off such pleasant sounds that it would cover the sounds of the crickets going and the waterfalls, even in the summer season, would create such a cooling effect. Little drops and mists would cool the air of Vrindavan. Because Krishna and Balaram were living here together, every season was all pleasing to the heart and to the senses. Krishna and his gopa friends, they would decorate their bodies and clothes with the minerals from the ground of Vrindavan. They would also decorate themselves with the feathers of the birds, especially that of the peacock. And they would pick wild flowers from the trees and make garlands and decorate each other's hair. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, along with his friends, showed us what is real opulence. Opulence is the natural gifts of nature that are used in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should know that when the gopas or the gopis decorated themselves, they did not do it like people of this world to attract people to them. When you ladies get new saris, you may think, I will be so beautiful in this sari. People will think I am so nice. And when men get their pants or shirts from your stores in Bombay, you may be thinking that, I will look very handsome. I will look distinguished. But the gopas and gopis, when they would decorate themselves, it was simply for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. We are making these efforts just to please Krishna. And Krishna is not concerned with what you wear, he's concerned with the effort you take to please him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that there is a decoration that is more valuable than all the jewels in the entire material universe. And do you know what that is? It is tilak. Tilak is simply mud available to anyone for practically nothing. But if that tilak is applied to the head and to the 12 parts of the body in a spirit of offering your body to Krishna, that is real ornament. That makes you beautiful in the eyes of God. The cowherd boys would play in so many ways. They would play various games. Sometimes Krishna would beautifully dance for them. And the cowherd boys would sing and play musical instruments to assist Krishna in his dancing. And as he would dance, the cowherd boys would say, well done, Krishna. You are an excellent dancer. And then in reciprocation, Krishna would ask the gopas to dance. And they would dance. And Krishna Balaram would play their flutes and other musical instruments and sing wonderful songs and say, well done, excellent, my friends. You are very good dancers. In this way, just like dramatic performers praise each other's arts, Krishna Balaram and the gopas would glorify each other's devotional efforts, which were simply meant for the pleasure of each other. Krishna would dance for the pleasure of the gopas. The gopas would dance for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the spiritual world, where everyone is the servant of everyone. Srila Prabhupada explains, Vaikuntha is that place where everyone is trying to increase everyone else's service. The material world is the place where everyone is trying to think, my service is better than yours. Hare Krishna. Sometimes they would play games like building bridges or chasing each other. Sometimes they would wrestle with one another and slap each other on the shoulders and in the backs. Other times Krishna would very affectionately pull the hair of the gopas. Sometimes they would take bare fruits and throw it into the air, and then the boys would throw other bare fruits to try to hit it before it came down. Another game they would play was one boy would go behind the other boy and cover his hands, his eyes with his hands, and the boy, just by touching the texture of that cowherd boy's hand, had to guess who he was. And if he guessed, that cowherd boy would give him a flute or a stick for herding cows. Sometimes they would play nice games where they would jump like the frogs, or follow the birds, imitate the different sounds of the animals of Vrindavan. This way Sri Krishna and Balaram and his cowherd boyfriends would perform most pleasing loving pastimes in these forests of Vrindavan. Sukadeva Goswami explains how, although Krishna was appearing just like an ordinary boy, sometimes he would reveal his supreme nature. One day, as they were playing in the forest, herding their calves, a great demon, in fact, Srimad Bhagavatam says he was foremost demon. His name was Pralambasura. He came to this forest of Bandiravan. He, by his mystic powers, disguised himself as a cowherd boy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, everyone's able to hear? That one day one of the cowherd boys had some duties and had to stay at home. Pralambasura disguised himself identical practically to that particular boy. His intention was to attack Krishna Balaram and the gopas. Krishna knew exactly who this demon was in the disguise of his own little helpless friend. So Krishna very, very affectionately welcomed him. He said, "Oh, my friend, I am so happy you have come to play with us today. Please join us." So Pralambasura was very happy. Then Krishna said, "Now it is time to play a nice game. Let us divide into two groups. One group will be led by Balaramji, and I will lead the other, and we will attack each other. And whoever loses has to carry the winner on his shoulders." So Pralambasura, in his form as a cowherd boy, was thinking, "Krishna is very powerful. Let me kill Balaram." So he took Krishna's side, and Krishna welcomed him to be on his team. They began to play, and as they were playing, Krishna led them to this tree, which is called Bandiravat in Bandiravan. And at the end of the game, they had to carry each other on their backs. Of course, we know how Balaram's side was victorious, and Krishna had to carry Sridhama on his back. One may ask, how is it that Sridhama can defeat Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a reciprocation of love. Krishna is all-powerful. Putana was a demon. She was 12 miles long, and Krishna effortlessly destroyed her by just sucking upon her breast. Trinavarta was a massive, massive whirlwind who created total havoc to the whole town of Vrindavan. And Krishna easily choked him with his arms, strangled his breath, and made him fall to the ground dead. So how is it that little Sridhama, Srimati Radharani's smaller brother, could defeat Krishna in games and wrestling? The answer is that Krishna likes to be defeated by his devotee. He is Bhakta Vatsal. He is the spirit of affection. A father can easily defeat a little baby son. Just like we have our Rohini Nandan Prabhu. He is here. Where is he? He has a little son named Baladev. Now, if we put them in the center of this arena of city and said, "Rohini Nandan and Baladev, we want wrestling match." Now, if Rohini Nandan Prabhu just fought as hard as he could, within seconds, Baladev would be dead. Would Baladev enjoy that? Would Rohini Nandan Prabhu enjoy that? Would we, the audience, enjoy that? we will be horrified. What kind of a father is this? Well, rather, if he pretended to be defeated, he pretended to be trying his hardest to win. See this wonderful pastime, we already have. So Krishna lets his friends defeat him just for ecstatic happiness of loving reciprocation. Krishna had to carry Sridharma on his shoulders here at Vandirabhan.
You're making excuses. This is like typical GBC thing. Krishna just lost, that's it.
This is just excuses. Krishna lost. That's it.
That is lost to you. But not willingly, unwillingly. You defeated me like Krishna killed both of us. Thank you, Maharaj, for connecting me. Wherever we are, we always need Jayadvaita Maharaj, somewhere close by to correct us.
That's why he was the editor.
His position of editing is not limited to his BTG office. Srila Prabhupada empowered him. So his consciousness will always give the proper editorial. Keep us in line with Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Because in Kali Yuga we all have so many tendencies. Thank you, Maharaj. Bhadrasena carried Brishab on his shoulders. And the little gopa named Pramamba, he took Balaram on his shoulders. It was here under this Bandirava tree. And generally they would go up to a certain point carrying the winners. But Pramamba Sura kept running farther and farther and farther into the Bandiravan forest. Balaramji was thinking, why is this cowherd boy taking me so far? Then he assumed a weight equal to Mount Sumeru, the largest mountain of the universe made of gold. And the demon, feeling the weight of Balaramji, could no longer contain his disguise. He assumed his original form, which was big as a huge black mountain. His complexion was very dark. His eyes were red like coals. His hair was like fire. He had big, sharpened teeth that were reaching practically to his eyebrows. He was a terrible, terrible demon. Balaramji was thinking, how is it that my friend has changed in every way? It actually says that he became frightened. Now, why does Balaramji become frightened? Simply as a pastime, to make his transcendental narration more interesting. It appeared that Balambasura was like a massive cloud and that Balaram was like the moon in that cloud. So Balambasura was taking him farther and farther in this huge, gigantic, demoniac form. Balaram, in transcendental anger, with his fist, he cracked open the head of Kalambasura. Shri Balaramji ki.
Oh, Daoji Maharaj ki.
We have an editor in the Vrijavati. The most unlikely combination. There you go. But Krishna Prabhupada's mercy is so wonderful. Balaramji struck him on the head so hard that his head cracked open. Immediately he started vomiting. His eyes bulged from their sockets. He passed stool and urine and fell to the ground with such a terrible, terrible sound that the entire earth shook. The cowherd boys, when they met with Balaram, it was as if they were meeting someone who had just come back from death. They all embraced him, and they said, Balaramji, well done, well done. And the demigods, they were so pleased that this foremost demon, Kalambasura, was slain, they showered beautiful flowers on the head of Sri Balaramji. This wonderful pastime took place here in Bandiravan. Then they were meeting here under the tree, and they began again to play so many of their nice games. Especially Balaram, Krishna, and Gopas would like to wrestle here in Bandiravan. So, as they were playing their nice pastimes, they forgot all about the calves. The little calves, allured by fresh green grasses, went deeper and deeper into different sections of the forest. They came to a place called Munjatavi, which is a section of the Ishikatavi forest. Nearby, there was a fire that was beginning to burn. But the calves were simply concerned with eating their grasses. When the gopas saw that the calves were gone, Krishna Balaram, they felt quite guilty because we were so much immersed in our play that we forgot all about our calves. We must protect them. They looked everywhere for them, but they could not find. But the gopas had a very high technology. They knew exactly how to live in the forest of Vrindavan and get things done very nicely. What they did is they would look for the imprints of the calf's hoofs on the dust of Braja. And they would follow those hoofprints. But sometimes there was so much grass that there was no dust. So they would look for grass that was broken, knowing this is the place that the calf bit into the grass. And in this way they were following the biting marks of the calves, deeper and deeper into the Bandiravan forest, to Munjatavi. There they found the calves, and by that time, massive, massive fire was all around them. Bhagavatam explains, just as a chariot carries someone from one place to another, similarly the chariot of the wind carried that fire from one forest all around Krishna Balaram, the gopas and the cows. This forest fire was blazing so hot and so high they were surrounded on all sides by it. They were struck with hunger, thirst, and terrible, terrible heat. This is the nature of material existence. Samsara dhavanalabhya lokam. Samsara, this material existence of birth and death, it is like dhavanalabhya. It is a planet of a huge forest fire. And what is that fire? Lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and illusion. It is a burning fire within our hearts. And externally, it manifests in its next stage of repeated of ariatmaka, aridaivaka, aribhautaka, birth, old age, disease, and death. Again and again and again, we are surrounded from within and without by this fire of material existence. The gopas and the cow, calves, helpless. They turn to Krishna. They said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahavira. Oh, Krishna and Balaram, you are all powerful. You can do anything. We are your humble servants. We have surrendered to you. Now this fire is about to consume our very lives. Please save us. Of course, we should know that the gopas only wanted to be saved by Krishna so that they could please Krishna by his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that it is an act of devotional service to try, according to your means, to protect your body so that it can be used for devotional service. But to protect your body just so that you can go on living and enjoying the material senses and mind, or to protect the body because of fear of death, is simply a very karmically incriminating activity. Therefore, we may take medicine when we are sick, we may take rest when we are tired, we may defend ourselves from opposing forces, if it is in the mood that I am doing this to protect the property of Krishna so that it can be used in the service of Krishna. And of course, we know, we cannot protect ourselves. Ultimately, only Krishna can protect us. This is a great lesson we could learn from this story here at Vandiravan. When the gopas turn to Krishna, just like a dying man looks upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna said to them, all right, do not be afraid. Close your eyes. And the gopas said, all right, we will close our eyes. And they closed their eyes. They had such innocent, complete faith in Krishna. As they closed their eyes, they could not see anything around. Then Krishna opened his mouth and immediately swallowed the entire forest fire. It is said there are several reasons why Krishna told them to close their eyes. One is to show people that no need for your own material adjustments or conceptions. If you have faith in Krishna, it is described by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, even if you are a blind man, you can see the farthest stars in the sky. Even if you are a lame man, you can cross over the highest mountains. Even if you are a dumb man, you can speak eloquent poetry. If we have faith in Krishna, in the spiritual master. Also, when Krishna once ate a little dirt, Mother Yashoda was so much worried about him. Oh, Krishna, you ate dirt, you will become sick. Why did you eat dirt? What would happen if the cowherd boys told Mother Yashoda, Krishna ate a huge forest fire? So he did not want Yashoda Mai to know. And after the dirt-eating pastime, he obviously didn't trust his friends to not tell him. I will not repeat what he just said. Then Krishna said, now open your eyes. And when they opened their eyes, not only was the entire forest fire gone, but miraculously they were sitting again under the Bandiravat tree that we are sitting under just now. The scriptures tell us what this Bandiravat tree was like at the time of Krishna and Balaram's manifested lila in Vrindavan. This tree was so beautiful and it was so big. It literally covered miles. It was so rich and full with leaves and flowers. It appeared like a beautiful cloud that had descended to the earth. Its branches went way, 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 way out. And it was one of the favorite places of Krishna, Balaram, and the Gopas to come under the shade of this tree and perform wonderful pastimes. And by their causeless mercy, today we have come under the beautiful shade of this wonderful holy tree to hear their transcendental pastimes. These transcendental sound vibrations of the Lord's teachings and pastimes are none different than the Lord himself. Whatever pastime we hear of the Lord, that lila is none different than the lila itself. If we hear with a proper mood of receptivity, in the mood of a genuine servant, hearing the pastimes gives us entrance into that pastime. These pastimes are not simply something that happened historically 5,000 years ago, but they are eternally enacted within the hearts of one who hears with faith and devotion. Another wonderful story that took place here is that this is described by Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Chandpur, that under this Bandirava tree, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna performed a wonderful playful pastime of getting married. In fact, this story must be understood in order to properly appreciate the presiding deities here, Radha, Bandira, Bihari. All of you have seen the deities? So you saw the unique pose that Krishna was in relationship to his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. What happened is, when Krishna and Srimati Radharani were children of about only 4 years old, they were walking through this beautiful forest of Bandiravat. They came to this tree, Bandiravat. Krishna manifested his Kishore age of about 15 years old, and Srimati Radharani also manifested her Kishore age, Kishore age. Just then, the intimate associates of Radha Krishna, the Sakis, headed by Lalita Sakhi, had a beautiful throne arranged for them, sat them on this throne, began to perform a marriage ceremony for Sri Radha and Krishna. At that time, Lord Brahma, being attracted, came down, began to chant the four Vedas. He became the chief priest for this marriage. Then other demigods, like Lord Shiva and great sages like Narada, they descended to also participate. There was an exchange of garlands, chanting of mantras, beautiful, wonderful, wonderful decorations made by the gopis of Vrindavan. And in this way, there was a playful lila of Radha Krishna's marriage. Of course, it was not official. Unofficial pastime of marriage. After the marriage was complete, all the demigods, gopis, everyone left, and then Krishna became again a little four-year-old boy, and Sri Radharani became a little four-year-old girl, and they returned to their homes. Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Radha Govinda ki. That also took place here at Bandiravat.
The third form of the deity.
The deity of Sri Radha Bandira Vihari is very special. You will see Krishna, he is putting the, what is it called, sindur? Sindur. Sannyasis don't know these things so well. Did I say it correctly, Maharaj?
That's me.
I'm here to prove it, and that you don't know this. I'm not supposed to know it, but I heard Dean Bunder from you say. I'm Sri Radharani's forehead, which is one of the very special rituals that take place in marriage, from what I have heard, to indicate this special pastime that took place here of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna's transcendental marriage ceremony. This is also described in various Puranas. In the Brajavilas Sava by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, it is explained that Radha and Krishna would also perform very, very loving, pleasing wrestling matches here with each other. Hare Krishna. And this is not the kind of wrestling like you see in the circuses of India today. This is the kind of wrestling where one tries to defeat the other by humility and affection. So we should all be wrestling like this. Trying to defeat, not defeat, but trying to win the heart of another by affection and devotion. They would dress themselves up as wrestlers and come to this holy place under the Bandiravan tree. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains how one time Sri Narada Muni was traveling through the Bandiravan forest, and he saw in a tree the two favorite parrots of Krishna that always accompanied him. He looked up in the tree at these beautiful parrots, and the parrots, they had heard Vedanta philosophy. So imitating what they have heard, they started speaking from the Vedanta Sutras. And then, just as a wonderful pastime, the parrots started to debate philosophical topics. Narada Muni, his eyes became very big and he could not even blink. He was in such amazement to see the philosophical expertise of the parrots of Vrindavan. Yesterday at Sri Rupa Goswami's Samadhi Mandir, His Holiness Jayadwaita Maharaj was explaining that some people think that this bhakti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan bhakti, is very sentimental, that people do not understand proper philosophy. But here we understand what is Vrindavan. Even the parents of Vrindavan are expert in all kinds of philosophical dissertations of Vedanta philosophy. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki! And even such a great learned scholar as Narada Muni was simply amazed at this wonderful pastime of Bandiravan. Nectar of Devotion also explains how one time in Bandiravan, one of the cowherd boy servants of Krishna named Bhakti, he was in separation from Krishna. And he was praying to Lord Krishna that if you always are there to save your devotees, you rescued your devotees from the terrible, terrible hunger of Agasura. You rescued your devotees from the terrible poison of Kaliya. You rescued devotees from the terrible heat of the forest fire. But what now that you are in Bandiravan with Banu Tanaya, Srimati Radharani, we are in separation from you. So we are praying that you understand that the feelings of our separation is more severe than the hunger of Agasura, than the poison of Kaliya, and than the fire of the Ishikatava forest. So we are surrendering, my Lord, please protect us and give us your divine association. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually explained that this type of development, the feelings of separation from Krishna, is the healthiest way of developing Krishna consciousness. Not that we should be proud that I have seen Krishna, that I know Krishna, but rather we should feel ourselves so fallen, so lonely. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he jumped in the river Ganges, and Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu brought him back to the shore, they said, "My Lord, why did you jump in the Ganges to drown yourself?" He said, "Why did you take me out? I have no love for Krishna. If I had any love of Krishna, even one drop of love for Krishna, in his separation I would have died long ago. But the fact that I am still breathing means I do not even have a single drop of love of Krishna. What is the use of my life without that?" Govinda Virahaname, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we should feel that this whole material universe is one dreary void, bereft of Krishna consciousness. In other words, we should not think that anything but Krishna consciousness has any real value on the spiritual platform. We are making all of our plans, making money, raising families, developing empires, trying to enjoy so many of the little facilities of this world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that bereft of pure Krishna consciousness, the whole world should be seen as a void. Nothing. And how do we develop this consciousness? It is not something that can be done artificially. It is by very, very sincerely and faithfully hearing from Srila Prabhupada, by reading his books and applying them to his life. Applying them to our lives, I'm sorry. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by serving the devotees of the Lord, and by very sincerely and loudly chanting the Holy Name. Not far from here is a tree called the Bamsi Bhat, a very, very sacred tree. It is one of the trees that Krishna would play his flute to attract the cows from the pasture grounds of Vrindavan. And also he would meet the gopis of Vrindavan. And this was one of the places that Krishna performed his rasa-lila. When Akula took Krishna from Vrindavan, he was 10 years and 8 months old at the time. The residents of Vrindavan were stricken with the terrible grief of the imminent separation from Krishna. But one of Krishna's most intimate cowherd boyfriends was Sri Rama. He said to Krishna, "Please, you cannot leave. I will not be able to survive if you leave Vrindavan." Krishna said to Sri Rama, "I will soon return. I will return either tomorrow or the day after tomorrow." Sri Rama said, "I will stand under this tree near the bank of the river Jamuna, and I will not eat or sleep. I will stay here until you return. If you do not return, I will drown myself in Jamuna." Krishna said, "Do not drown yourself in Jamuna. I will return." Sri Rama waited. He waited long, long time. In fact, he waited so long of a time that a deity is installed under this tree. And this deity is none different than Sri Rama, who is still waiting for Krishna to return to Vrindavan. 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. He traveled through all the 12 forests. When he came here to Bandiravan, he saw all these holy places. when he came to the Bansiva tree and he saw the Murti of Sri Dhamma standing there waiting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great love for this devotee, he cried out, "Sri Dhamma, Sri Dhamma, I have come, I have returned." And Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu embraced the deity of Sri Dhamma with great affection. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! So Sri Dhamma was waiting 4,500 years. Some of us have been devotees for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and we're thinking, why? Why I'm not seeing Krishna? Maybe I should do something else. Maybe I should watch television. Maybe I should enjoy what everybody else is enjoying. I've been a devotee all these years. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so long. I've been performing tapasya. I can't even keep track of how many mangal aartis I have attended. Countless mangal aartis. How many cold baths I have taken for so many years. How many times I had to tolerate the abuse of other Vaishnavas in the Hare Krishna movement. Enough is enough. I gave my best years of my life. But Sri Dhamma, even after 4,500 years, he was waiting eagerly, and Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya embraced. When we have that type of faith and dedication, whether Krishna reveals himself to us in this life or millions of lives to come, that is not important. What is important is we are pleasing him. We are serving his devotees. We are giving his message to others. And we never give up chanting his holy name. Some of the places we will visit today is the Radha Vandir Vihari Mort, the deity of Dauji. An interesting story of Lord Balaram is after he killed Brahmambasura, he came to the well that Krishna made with his flute, and he rested beside that well to drink water. He placed his crown down. And the imprint is actually a deity of Balaram's crown at the place where his crown was made. We will all take some water from Venukoop. It's not the moonless night. But the benediction of pure love of God is 365 days every year for all eternity, and we pray for that. That should be our prayer. Here in Vandiravan, such a charming, beautiful, beautiful forest, by Srila Prabhupada's most causeless mercy, we have all gathered here together to hear and chant the glories of Vrindavan. Thank you very much.